Sure. I think in light of this, the discussion of the participatory and the sense that our being influenced and influencers, and the sense of the whole system, I was really drawn your piece around the Oakland Occupy and the meditation and your own reflection on moving from a phase of your activist life where there was a them and an us, and you know, we're on the promise side, they're the peril, and you know, this kind of view, to a view that somehow both of us are now involved in this thing in radical ways, and a sense of the heart and the compassion that arised in you as a result of that. So I thought that was really, if you might speak to that, or
well, this is the kind of antidote. So we have these what I've been calling the three, I use a lot of Buddhist language, and and it helps me to sort of frame the argument, and it's I've been talking, and I'm sure I'll talk tonight about this, the three poisons of of the heart of Buddhist, all Buddhist teachings. There's this idea that the root causes of suffering are desire, hatred, and aversion, otherwise known as ill will. There's, you know, ignorance, there's different names for it, but it's basically these three: desire, aversion, and ignorance. And all of these have their kind of institutional form. The group mind has taken on all three of these, and it's particularly apparent in American culture. You know, we have the largest, for our aversion and our aggression, we have the largest military ever in the history of Earth. You know, all the numbers. And then the consumer society, materialism, you know, we're really good at that as well. We have, you know, we have, what, a fifth of the population, and we consume something like a third of the world's resources. You know, doing really well in that one. And then we have this massive and relentless media empire as well. That's our delusion. That's our, and again, its job is, as part of this empire machine, is to convince us that we are separate and that we're deficient and we're, so it's a core Buddhist insight that we're all connected, that we're all, that one thing, nothing, no thing can exist without every other thing. You know, every whatever item you want to choose will only point to the fact that you think that there are items. You know, there will only show your delusion, you know, that there's, that it's, you know, so just to recognize the systemic quality of everything, of the universe, and of and certainly of our social, on the social level as well, how we all are interconnected. And it's just, for me, I mean, there are a lot of ways to do it, but for me, it's just, that's one way to help falling into this us versus them kind of mentality, which is, it's easy for us to do, all of us, we all do it all the time. You know, certainly don't want to give the impression that I'm immune to this. And so when I write an article like that, it's just a reminder to myself. It's just a kind of meditation for my own self to, like, remember, oh yeah, those people are not the other, the evil other. And particularly when we're talking about that level of power and influence, it's hard to not think, okay, these people are bad. You know, they're doing really bad things. And but it's good to remember, it's helpful to remember that, like I was just talking about a while ago, they're probably not particularly happy. You know, I mean, it seems pretty obvious, really, in fact, that if you are going around causing suffering to others in large amounts, that you yourself are, you're not dealing with something in your own life that's some source of suffering that's causing you to behave in this way. If you had your a sense of purpose in a that was aligned with your talents and your skills, and if you had rich community and so on, would you be behaving this way? You know, probably not. You know, I mean, so no. The, for me, there's just, there are ways to think about it, and again, the Buddhist traditions are really helpful for me for that. You know, just there's the basic premise in metta meditation, which is loving kindness meditation, that the basic premise is that all beings are, want to be happy. and are trying to be happy. It's very simple, but you have to sort of take that to heart rather than just, again, not just as a notion. Well, of course, we're all trying to be happy, but it's like, no, even those people who seem hell-bent on destroying everything they can get their hands on are trying in their own deluded way to be happy. So sort of seeing them, again, as part of, as embedded in the system and not outside of the system controlling the whole thing.
Right.
You know? I mean, there's that tendency in all of us to think that it's, again, that tendency of separation. They're over there, up there in those tall buildings or whatever, and kind of lording now over all of us or whatever. And they're, no, they're part of it as well. So we're all together making... making this change, and you know, or creating the world as we go, and so you know, part of what's useful for me about that is that remembering that all of these three poisons are in all of us. We have an empire machine within all of us. All of our grasping and whatever tendencies we have towards consumerism, and I just need to buy that one thing or get that one thing, or even the idea that, you know, there's something somewhere else that's going to make me happy, or happiness is next week sometime, or, you know, if it's not now, it's not going to happen later, you know. So, you know, just simple ideas like that that just remind us that we're part of this whole thing, and that ultimately if we direct our, you know, directing our fear and aversion and anger at the other, whatever, that's kind of what's gotten us in the problem in the first place. You know, that's, you can see all of, like, in one way, you can just look at all of history as this inability to sit with feelings of uncomfortableness and fear and uncertainty and just constantly scapegoating others and creating, you know, they're the ones who cause, or causing these problems, the Jews or whatever it is, you know. And it's embedded very deeply in our society. We have, it's like almost like a human tendency to scapegoat the other or whatever. But I would like to think that part of that, we're in a phase, or at least the beginning phases of ending empire mentality in general. And that's part of the shift, is like moving towards, away from this scapegoating tendency, and just realizing, you know, that makes me feel really uncomfortable, and just sitting with being uncomfortable. It's part of being human, you know. We're very messy. It's difficult, you know. It's hard to be human because of the way our minds function. It's really, really difficult, but it's beautiful. You know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Cool. I got a question.
Yeah,
because I read the book actually. I finished it last week. It's really good. I'm not saying that. One part that I felt was really interesting, and I think you were paraphrasing some John Macy, but I thought it was really effective, was you just talked about like the three triads of like transformation. And this is, for me, it was really like, wow, this is really cool, because I can use that as a lens to look forward. So I don't know, I mean, maybe you guys would be interested in that.
Please.
That's just, you might be thinking about Joanna Macy's, she has kind of an anatomy for the Great Turning. So she calls this period the Great Turning. We're turning from the industrial growth society to the life-sustaining society. So, you know, could unpack that whole thing, but just for now, it's just, that's one of the ways to conceive of this turning. There's another author, David Corton, who uses the term Great Turning. In fact, he has an amazing book called The Great Turning, which I totally recommend. But the phrase that he uses is from empire to earth community. So it's this part, one way of just kind of looking at the shift. But in Joanna's scheme that I think Ian is referencing, is she has these three different dimensions of the Great Turning. And the first one is to do with like activism. She calls holding actions. So this is kind of the part of us that just says no, you know, enough. Like, you're not going to cut down any more of this redwood forest or whatever. You're not going to take away any more of my rights or whatever. So I'm going to go out in the street and bang pots and pans or whatever I have to do to like put it in. It's, you know, and there's a million different ways to engage in activism as we know, you know, from boycotts to online petitions to direct action to hunger strikes, whatever it might be. You know, this is, they're all part of this more sort of political component of the Great Turning. Occupy, of course, is like the main example, mm-hmm. you know, that's going on right now. And then the second dimension is changing the structures. So again, this is kind of like changing kind of the reassembling the machine in a different way so that it serves different purposes and different functions. So we see arising all of these alternative systems that involve like permaculture instead of agriculture,
transition
towns, and
other currencies,
alternative currencies. All that stuff is part of the second
right.
thing. And you know, people who are really into that, and it's totally awesome. You know, that's their thing, and that's where their strengths lie and where their interest lies. And then the last little sphere is the sphere of changing consciousness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would say the book deals primarily with this sphere of the shift in consciousness, but and that has a lot of things, some of which we've already talking about, the shift from a participatory into a participatory realm, and all the insights of recent science and quantum physics and all that, and biology. You know, we're seeing all of the interconnected thing in biology, but biology is not the same science it was 50 years ago or 100 years ago. It's, you know, becoming much more dramatically intimately engaged in a certain way. So you know, there's a lot of different shifts, and I think part of the book is devoted to that. I talk about the new story, so it's kind of one way to think about it is like, what's the new story? The new story of the human, you know, of what it means to be human, ultimately, is kind of what it is. So, point is that all of these three areas are deeply interconnected, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I find it useful as well, and one reason is because I can kind of plug in to any one of those three mm-hmm. areas, depending on my mood or depending on,
right.
you know, how I'm feeling that week or that year, you know. And I myself, you know, have gone through different phases where I was certainly more of an activist or more on the kind of consciousness spiritual side, or, you know, been more interested in permaculture and green building and all that kind of stuff. So, but just knowing that mm-hmm. all three areas are equally important and crucial, in fact, you know, we can't leave one without the other. We can't have the whole turning is not going to work, you know, unless all three of these, you know, mm-hmm. work. So it also helps to kind of break down mm-hmm. this animosity between or among different groups, you know.
So
well,
true.
I'm doing the important work because I'm doing...
I'm meditating all day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to change everything.
Yeah.
Reduced. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, of course. Like that. That has to be balanced out with like the some doing and action, and the action has to be balanced out with some meditation,
right?
Yeah,
because goodness knows a person can like burn out and
totally
come from this displace of anger and frustration and, you know, fuck the system mm-hmm.
yeah.
kind of mentality. And there's a place for that. It's just, you know, if you're there all the time, you know, it's hard work.
Yeah.